So hopefully you're ready for that one.
So I didn't post it until Thursday night.
So. Alright. Last time we finished the heart. So, you're done with the heart now. Except for what you're testing. So, next week we're not here, so don't show up next Saturday. And then the week after, which I'm probably going to say next Saturday quite a bit, so just bear with me. I really mean Saturday after next. Okay? Saturday after next is when we will take and do practical. And you will have one more lecture that day. It'll be a full lecture, just like normal. And then Saturday after that is your final. So, it's pretty much today, and then two more times a week after that. Okay? Most of y'all's grades are established. I have not put in the extra credit yet. I will be putting it in over the break. Probably gonna sit down when I actually get some decent sleep in the next 48 hours and then do it. Okay, so are we good? Alright.
We can still email you the papers, right?
Yes, you can still email. I would prefer them printed out, but I know how it is on college budget. I have a laser printer at home, so it's easy for me just to print them out myself. Okay? So, if I get it on the day of the final, as long as I have enough time to read it, I'll be fine. Okay? Next year I won't do anything nearly that nice, but I'm doing it that this way because, for one, I'm kind of slacking on putting it in right now. So, okay? So, at least acknowledge that. Alright. So, let's see. So, embryonic development of the blood vessels. So, the vasculogenesis. Okay, genesis for the longest time has been used for formation in biology. Vasculovas is going to be vascular. So, vasculogenesis, blood vessel formation begins in the third week of development, and your common dorsal aorta is going to, it's going to have a right and left portion that are going to fuse at the level of the fourth thoracic vertebrae. Okay, so this is where I'm going to kind of go into evolution just a little bit. Okay, these aortic arches resemble what we see in fishes or fish gills, in aortic arches for development into the gill arches. So, and the filaments that they use to actually respire with. So, that's how they breathe. They don't take in air, so they don't breathe, they respire. Okay? Alright, so, looks very similar. It's just kind of interesting to see that crossover. When I took this class, like I said, this was an animal-based class, so literally there was a whole lecture dedicated to that. Okay, so you're getting a very brief, here it is. Six, the aortic arch vessels are going to form the common carotid arteries, the aortic arch, and the pulmonary arteries. Okay, so I do not expect you to know all of the development of this. But I do expect you to know vasculogenesis, that they are going to come from a setup that looks a whole lot like the fishes. Okay, so veins are going to develop from bilateral venous systems that are connected to the heart. Eventually these systems are going to be remodeled to the right side of the heart. Ventilating system. So this is going to drain the gastrointestinal region. You have the umbilical system, which is going to carry oxygenated blood from the placenta, and your cardinal system, which is going to form the veins of the head, neck, and body wall. Part of the reason why I got the cardinal name is because of cardinal directions, okay? Just throwing it out there, it's where it came from. All right. So, you have this lovely diagram. I am not expecting you to go through all of the embryological development. If you want to work in a neonatal unit, if you want to work in any kind of facility where you may be working with gyno, or you may be working with Anyway, doctor's responsible for actual delivery. Okay, so labor and delivery. If you want to work in this area, I suggest that you go through and spend some time with this diagram. Okay, and along with this one also. Okay, the fetus must supply blood to the placenta to remove waste and obtain nutrients. Very little blood is sent towards the lungs. There is that shunt that we talked about. Okay, that implies where there's the, okay, I'm getting confused. I didn't talk about the shunts in here yet. So, we're talking about shunts. Okay, so very little blood is gonna be sent towards the lungs. The way they do this is through what's called a shunt. There are a couple main shunts in development. One of them is called the foramen ovale. So the foramen ovale is actually in the heart. So you can see it's in bold here. This is a hole in the heart. It ends up leading to a fossa. What was that fossa that was on the quiz today? So how about that? Kind of keeping the name similar, okay? Foramen, hole, fossa, dip. So what happens is when the child is developing, they're going to have this hole in the actual wall of their heart, in the septum in their heart. This allows for blood to move across between your atria, okay? In this case, you're gonna have circulation moving through. This is going to bypass your pulmonary circuit, okay? Because the child is not breathing. So since the child is not breathing in air, there's no need for the circulating blood to go through the pulmonary circuit, okay? Besides providing a little bit, besides providing oxygen for development of the child. So there will be some blood that will actually make its way into the pulmonary circuit because the cells in the pulmonary circuit will need it to develop. All right, and then there's the ductus arteriosus. The ductus arteriosus is a shunt, okay? It is between your pulmonary circuit and your aorta. This becomes a ligamentum arteriosum. Okay, the ligamentum arteriosum we thought was a ligament to hold the two together for a long time, until we started looking at fetal children and noticed that it was actually enlarged and that there was a circulation through it. Okay, and when we did this, we noticed, hey, this is actually causing some sort of a circulation crossover. So the child has these shunts. These shunts eventually close off. If they don't, that's where you get some issues. I've had a couple students now that have had it to where the foramen ovale does not completely seal off. So they have a hole in the septum of their heart. In that case, they have mixing of their oxygenated and deoxygenated blood. So what happens for the individual as far as physiology goes, when they go to run or do something strenuous, they run out of oxygen faster. So the oxygen that they're running out of is mainly because they have mixed oxygenated deoxygenated blood. So getting the high concentration of oxygen to their cells is difficult. All right, so umbilical vessels are going to run in the umbilical cord. There's the paired umbilical arteries and the unpaired umbilical vein. All right, so the ductus venosus is a shunt that bypasses the liver. Yet again, another important shunt. Main reason why the child is not needing to store any fats, okay? Where you might in the liver, you're also not needing to break down a lot of the drugs or things that you come into contact with, harmful substances that the liver is normally responsible for breaking down because the mother's liver is doing it for them. This is why the child is always at risk, okay? The ductus venosus connects the umbilical vein to the IVC, the inferior vena cava. The foraminal valve is the opening between the right and left atrium. Like I said, it allows for blood to pass through. Ductus arteriosus. The ductus arteriosus is going to shunt and it's going to bypass the pulmonary circuit. Connect the pulmonary artery to the aorta, right side to the left. All right. You should know the shunts. I can almost guarantee you, you will find test questions on this. Okay? All right. So, function of blood vessels, looking at the delivery system for blood, it begins and ends at the heart. Does work with the lymphatic system to circulate fluids. So, you have a high pressure circuit coming from your heart into your arteries, goes into a capillary bed. So it hits capillary bed. Capillary beds have these little precapillary sphincters. Precapillary sphincters allow you to regulate the pressure of the blood flow through. Okay, it also allows you to cut off blood flow if need be to that capillary bed. So, if you cut off blood flow to that capillary bed, then you are preventing heat loss. Okay, so this is what happens in extremely cold climates. When you go outside, you're going to close down these precapillary sphincters. They also, when they are wide open, are going to allow the full pressure of the circulatory tract to push through that capillary. Now, full pressure is relative. What I mean by that, you've got an artery, or you've got an aorta that's somewhere around this large, okay? You're gonna go from that aorta into hundreds of capillary beds. If you add up the diameter of all those capillary beds, the pressure is gonna drop because the diameter of the capillary beds is much larger, okay? So your pressure is going to drop. However, for your thin-walled capillary veins and arteries, your capillary vessels, that pressure is high enough to be able to, based on pressure and amount, gradients, be able to force what you need out and pull back in what you don't need in that area. Okay, what I mean by that? So, you have pressure pushing in, you're going to have oxygen being made, one of the main constituents, oxygen coming out of the capillaries, okay? You're also gonna get some plasma fluid. So once you get some plasma fluids coming out, you'll notice that they'll eventually be taken back in on the venous side, hopefully. If they're not, they get picked up by the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is even lower pressure than your circulatory tract. So, what happens is these fluids that pool or collect around your capillary beds, this extracellular fluid. The extracellular fluid will be picked up by little valves, okay, little flap-like valves at the end of your lymphatic tract, and that lymph fluid, what's left, is going to be through low pressure circulated back to the heart. Okay, now it's so low pressure that it has to have specific structures in it, just like your major veins. They have valves. These valves prevent backwards flow. So they are structured a whole lot like a semilunar valve. They are curved to where when you push something past, it'll fall back and catch on itself. Okay, so the actual pressure inside the cells that make up that tissue will hold against themselves and hold that pressure. You will use milking action to circulate back to the heart, the lymphatic fluid. That milking action is your muscles pushing against the lymphatic vessels. Okay? We're good? All right. So arteries carry blood away. Capillaries are the smallest blood vessels, and veins are going to carry blood into the heart. Okay? It does not always mean oxygenated, deoxygenated, red and blue. Okay? So just make sure you pay attention to which diagram you're looking at. Some of them are wrong in the fact that they will tell you that the pulmonary artery is going to be red because it's going away. Which is not the case. Okay? Pulmonary artery takes away deoxygenated blood to the pulmonary circuit. Alright, so capillaries, the smallest blood vessels, the site of molecule exchange between blood and interstitial fluid. Alright, so you do have a layer of connective tissue on the outside of the blood vessels. You are going to have a layer of smooth muscle inside the blood vessels also, and you will have epithelium on the inside. Alright, now we get into the technical names. So, the tunicas. Tunica intima is the intimately associated tunic. Okay, so it is on the inside of your arteries and veins. Tunica media is where you are going to get your smooth muscle. Okay, tunica media is in between the two. And then tunica externa is the external tunica. Okay, this is where you're going to have your connective tissue. Does that make sense to everyone?
So you're wanting us to, epithelium is tunica intima, muscle is tunica media,
yep.
Connective tissue is tunica externa.
Yep. Those are the primary constituents of those layers. Okay, and we're going to talk about them here. So, all right, your blood vessels are going to contain a lumen, which is an opening for flow. It is composed of three layers of tunics. You have your tunica intima, which is going to be simple squamous endothelium. Okay? Now, this is where, okay. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. I questioned the last slide in my head and I should have just clicked through it. So, go back. I'll show you what I'm. So, this says epithelium, okay, so it says endothelium, okay. Make sure I'm clear on this, endothelium is what it is, okay, it is endothelium. I'm going to have to fix the slide, the previous slide, but it is endothelium on the inside. Create smooth surface for blood flow, and there are elastin fibers to give it an elastic tension. So, in other words, if you push a higher pressure through it, tunica intima can stretch, okay? So, it can give that little bit of extra stretch because of the elastin fibers and how they're networked together. All right, so tunica media. Smooth muscle and your elastin fibers also, because it also needs to be able to stretch. Controls the blood flow and pressure. You can, through contraction of your smooth muscle, increase the pressure in the region. Okay? Or you can, through relaxation of those smooth muscles, cells, you can actually lead to a decrease or drop in pressure in the area. So you can control it locally. Control, let's see, so vasoconstriction, vasodilation. So, vaso, blood vessel, okay, or vessel is what it technically translates directly to. Vaso is vessel, constriction. So you can constrict down or shrink the diameter. Vasodilation, you can increase the diameter of the tube. Tunica externa or adventitia. So I even use tunica externa. Adventitia is even older than me. Okay. So this is your connective tissue, loose collagen fibers. This reinforces and anchors the blood vessels. Reinforces because they are stretching and contracting. So increasing and decreasing in pressure. Vasovasorium. These are tiny blood vessels that deliver blood to the tissues of larger vessels. Okay. Vasovasorium is not something that usually I cover, but it's here, so you should know it for the test. Okay. So, this is where we get into the difference between veins and arteries. So, your main layers that are going to differentiate, okay, is going to be your tunica media and your tunica externa. Those are the ones that have the largest variation, mainly your tunica media. So, your tunica media in your arteries is much larger than in your veins. This is mainly because of the pressure that your arteries have to handle and the pressure that they sometimes have to create. In your veins, your tunica media is going to be smaller. However, it is still there, so you still do have control in your veins to add or create pressure. Are we good? Are there any questions on this so far? Okay. All right. So this goes all the way down until you get to even your arterial and your venule. They're still going to show that difference. Now, in your veins, they tend to have a larger tunica externa. Part of the reason why is to help support the valves. Okay? We'll get into the valves here. So, here is one of the valves shown. I didn't notice this earlier. But once you get into your medium-sized veins, you will notice that there is the valves that resemble a whole lot. They resemble your semilunar valves. All right. So, types of arteries. There's elastic arteries, and then there's going to be muscular arteries. So, elastic is just going to be conducting. So, this is going to include the aorta and its major branches. The aorta is going to handle the highest pressure of the circulatory tract. It is going to be high in elastin because the last thing you want to do is rupture your aorta. Okay, if you rupture your aorta, you're talking seconds to live, more than likely, unless you are near a facility. So, high elastin, which is found in all three tunics in this case. It is going to help dampen the surge of blood pressure, and it is going to function as a pressure reservoir for expansion and recoil. Every time your left ventricle contracts and forces it through the aortic semilunar valve, it's going to push it through into the aorta. That aorta has to take pressure higher than what it's already at. So it's already under high pressure, and then it's going to get hit with even higher pressure. Okay. So this pulsating pressure gradient is what basically why it has to have your high elastin in all three layers. The muscular arteries, so distal to elastic arteries. It includes most named arteries, and your tunica media is thick, but there is less elastin there. It still does have a large population of smooth muscle cells. We're still talking arteries. Okay, Arterioles, these are the smallest arteries. The large arterioles are going to possess all three tunics. So you've got all three tunics all the way down until you hit a capillary bed. Okay? The smaller arterioles are mostly single layer of smooth muscle surrounding endothelial cells. So you are losing more and more muscle as you go down in size. That is part of what leads to the decrease in size from, well, besides the diameter difference, but what leads to the thickness changing from arteries to arterioles. All right, so control the flow into capillary beds via vasodilation, vasoconstriction of smooth muscle. Because if you have too high of a pressure, you can rupture the capillary beds, or you can force too many solutes and solvents out into the interstitial fluid. Yes.
I'm seeing all of this, these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have a slide that shows this stuff?
So I think there is a slide in lab that I'll have out today, if there is one. I had one at my last high school campus, so I'm hoping they have one.
Would that be called, what tissue is this?
So, usually it's stained close to this, and it has an internal layer that you can see the difference. So if I had the pointer at the inside, I would ask you if I'm endothelium. If I had it at the outside, I would ask you if they're endothelium, or I could ask you to tell me which tunic it is, tunic antimia, and I could ask you to tell me tunic externa, or I could ask which one is in the middle, tunic media. Okay, so there's a way that I can ask all of them as long as the slide's there. All right, good question though. And this is something that you can see in a microscope every time. Okay. I didn't have it out last time just because I didn't think about it. All right, so smallest blood vessels. Only one red blood cell can pass through at a time in a capillary. So one cell forms the entire circumference. So you've got one cell going all the way around. Walls are just thin tunica intimia. This is where you get your exchanges of gases, nutrients, waste, hormones between the blood and the interstitial fluid. So, what happens is you have this varying pressure. You have the precapillary sphincters that can shut down flow. You have muscle in your arterioles that you can use to either increase or decrease the pressure in the capillary. So you have a lot of control here. This control allows you to either increase the pressure to force more out or decrease the pressure to pull more in. Now, when you go through the artery side of the capillary, that is where you are going to give off most of your nutrients and your gases. And hormones if you're signaling something. But once you hit the venous side, so about halfway through the capillary bed, once you hit the venous side, that pressure's dropped because everything's moved out. So now you have a low pressure on the backside. So your waste, and because of radiance, your waste, hormones, and some of your nutrients that you don't need will come back in. When they come back into the venous side, then they'll be circulated back up through the venules. Okay? All right. Let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and I'll roll through some more.